James chapter 1, verse number 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That means that when we get angry, we don't portray the righteousness of God. Flight attendants and pilots report and are reporting a dramatic rise in violent behavior among passengers. Drunk and violent airline passengers are on the rise. In fact, airline staff are now being trained how to forcibly restrain somebody physically in mid-flight because they are dealing with things on a higher level than before. The International Air Transport Association, IATA, says there was a 50% rise this year in the number of passengers forcibly contained for bad behavior, ranging from verbal abuse to life-threatening situations. Doesn't that make you feel good, all of you who are flying to Arizona in a couple of weeks? The total number of incidents reported was 9,837 in 2017. In 1995, there was half that. It has doubled in the last 20 years. Taken from NBC News on August 8, 2017, road rage increases. Nearly 80% of drivers, according to AAA, admitted to experiencing significant anger while driving. 8 million drivers last year engaged in an extreme version of road rage, including ramming another car or getting out to confront another driver. 8 million people engaged in that last year. Domestic violence is on the increase. In fact, if you talk to most police departments, you'll find it's the number one call that they receive is domestic violence today. One in four women will experience domestic violence in their lifetime. That's a staggering statistic. It all reveals that anger is affecting our society. It's affecting our homes. It's affecting our workplaces. It's affecting our churches. It's affecting our marriages. The stronghold of anger. This morning I want to preach on pulling down the stronghold of anger. In order to pull down a stronghold, you must recognize it as an imagination that exalteth itself against the character of God. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 5. Remember, a stronghold is a fortification of the mind. And when we think scripturally, we feel appropriately, and we can act wisely. But if we don't think scripturally, we won't feel appropriately, and we won't act wisely. And so much of the strongholds that we're dealing with deals with our thinking, how we think. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 5, the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Kind of our theme verse for this series. A stronghold can become a life-dominating sin, like the sin of anger. Anger is a feeling that makes your mouth work faster than your mind. In fact, somebody that's angry, you generally can't reason with them in their mind because they are so out of control, because they are under the control of anger. If somebody comes to me and they're angry and I can tell they are blown up, I usually talk to them this way. I usually say, I'd like to help you with whatever your concern is, but not right now. Until you get yourself under control, we're not going to be able to resolve anything. So you take a couple days and you get yourself emotionally detached from whatever's on your mind, and then you and I will be able to talk and we'll be able to resolve something. But as long as you're angry, we won't resolve anything. As long as I'm angry, I won't resolve anything. And so anger can become a life-dominating sin. Did you know that anger causes you to make statements that you will regret? Anger does. I mean, people say things when they are angry that wound people deeply. And they wish they could pull those words back, but they can't. Because anger moves people to say things that they wish they never said. Anger causes you to do things that you will regret for years to come. Anger does. Anger brings about violence in some cases that have irreversible consequences. Do you know that people that murder somebody generally have a problem with anger? You know that most people in the prison today probably had a spout off somewhere, probably did not deal with anger well, and it turned into violence. And now today they are years laid up in prison because their anger led them to do something that is regrettable today. But the problem is it's not reversible. That's anger. Anger will destroy relationships in your life. Anger will do that. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. We're going to look at a lot of scripture this morning as I preach on the thought, pulling down the stronghold of anger. We've dealt with pulling down the stronghold of anxiety. We've dealt with pulling down the stronghold of addictions. We've dealt with strongholds that will keep you from getting saved. We've dealt with destroying or defending a stronghold. And this morning we're dealing with pulling down the stronghold of anger. Proverbs 14, verse number 17. He that is soon angry dealeth what? Foolishly. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. And a man of wicked devices is hated. Young ladies in our room, listen to me closely. Those of you that are not married yet, please don't marry an angry man. Boy, you marry an angry man, you're going to have trouble for life. He that is soon angry is going to deal foolishly over and over and over again. What does it mean? He's going to make decisions based upon his anger. And when he makes decisions based upon his anger, he's going to have huge regrets. He's not going to be a man that you can honor and respect. He's going to be a man that you're going to be scared of. Because he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. In 2013 in Lancaster County, a 21-year-old mother of two was fatally shot in her apartment. Her 6-month-old baby was with her but unharmed. Her ex-boyfriend was charged with homicide. Listen to these charges. Homicide, aggravated assault, simple assault, terroristic threats, child endangerment, and weapons violation. Why? He's angry. Look at all that stacked up against him. Because he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, according to the scriptures. Police say he pointed a gun at the victim and two other women in the apartment and threatened to kill everyone there, including 4 children under the age of 5. Because he got angry. And he didn't control his anger. Traditionally, the anger issue has been divided up between those who get angry and those who don't. Some personalities tend towards eruptions, shouting, yelling, while other personalities hold it inside. And they don't deal with it biblically, they just manifest it differently. Now, if we're going to get control of this, and we're going to pull down this stronghold, then we have to understand that any thinking that leads me to anger is really an exaltation against the knowledge of God. I want you to see the character of God in the scriptures. This is important because in order to pull down a stronghold, I've got to know things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Anger is one of those things in my life and your life that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I want you to see it in Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. In order to grow, you must have a working knowledge of God so that when something rises up within you that is against that knowledge, you discard it. You cast it down. You reject it. You don't allow it to take hold of your heart. Nehemiah chapter 9 gives us an insight to the character of God this morning, and I want you to see this insight. The The Bible says in verse number 17, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them. But hardened their neck, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful. And what's the next phrase? Slow to anger. Not soon to anger. God is not soon to be angry. God is slow to anger. The Bible says, and of great kindness, and forsook them not. Turn to Psalm 103. Psalm chapter 103. A little Bible study this morning on the character of God and what we understand about God as it relates to anger. Psalm 103, and look at verse number 8. Verse number 8. The Bible says, the Lord is merciful and gracious. And what's the next phrase? Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. In Psalm 145 and verse number 8, the Bible says the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. In Isaiah 48 and verse number 9, God makes this statement about himself. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger. And for my praise will I refrain for thee that I cut thee not off. In Joel chapter 2 and verse number 13, the Bible says this, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. In Micah chapter 7 and verse number 18, I believe the Bible's trying to get a point across to us this morning. And that is that God is slow to anger. In Micah 7 and verse number 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. You see, this aspect of God is to be imitated by people like you and me. Now, there are some aspects of God, his infinite attributes, that you and I cannot imitate. We cannot imitate his omnipotence. He's all powerful. You and I can never imitate that character quality. We don't have that in our being. There are some character qualities like his omnipresence that you and I cannot imitate. But there are some finite qualities that he has, like mercy, like being slow to anger, that we can, and in fact, we are to imitate. And may I say this morning, based upon the authority of how the Bible describes our God, you and I are not to be people, believers, that are quick to become angry. We are to be people that are slow to anger. This aspect is to be imitated by us. Did you know that this is a qualification for a pastor? The testimony of my life ought to be one that's slow to anger. The Bible says in Titus chapter 1, verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry. Why? Because if a pastor's soon angry, he's going to deal how? Foolishly. He's going to make unwise decisions based upon his anger. And so it's not good to have a pastor that's angry. It's one thing that I have to bear down on in my own life. I can't let anger bring about and cause me to make decisions. I've got to control anger in my life. But there's also the triumph of a Christian when he's able to do this. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. The person that is slow to anger is a mighty person. They're a powerful person, according to the Scriptures. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 32 says this, he that is slow to anger is better than the what? Mighty. Once in a while we have arm wrestling competitions with the teenagers around here. I have seen world arm wrestling competition. Big guys come in, barely walk, you know. Sit down at the table. And with all their might, they want to win the world championship of arm wrestling. Take a person that's slow to anger and they're stronger than them. That's what the Bible says. Bible says a person that is slow to anger is a mighty person. If you are able to control your anger, you are a mighty person. And he that ruleth his spirit, then he that taketh a city. And so the character of God is important, because when we see that God is slow to anger, then any time that we're ready to explode, I'm not thinking right. I'm not feeling right. Whatever's bringing about this emotion in my heart is not God-like. It is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. That's a problem. That's something I better not dwell on. That's something that I better cast aside out of my life. That's something that I better not let get a grip on me. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 13. When anger grips you, you are defenseless spiritually. I taught this principle to our parents in Parenting Institute, dealing with the spirit of a person. When somebody doesn't have rule of their spirit, they are defenseless spiritually. They're like a city that's broken down and without walls, according to Proverbs 25:28. And so when your spirit is out of control, you are now really open game to the enemy on all sides. There's no saying how much success the enemy is going to have in your life, because your spirit is out of control. Now, I want you to look at the Spirit of God in relationship or in contrast to anger in Deuteronomy chapter 13. The Bible says this, "And there shall cleave naught of the cursed thing to thine hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show thee mercy and have compassion upon thee and multiply thee as he has sworn unto thy fathers." What are God-like qualities that are the opposite of anger? How about mercy? How about compassion? Realizing that whatever was done to me that I'm upset about, maybe because someone's dealing with something else in their life. Put your foot in the shoe of somebody that you're angry at. That's compassion. Say, wait a second. Maybe there's things in their lives going on right now that I don't know about, that they're dealing with. And if they just happen to spew on me, or they happen to hurt me for a second, an angry response is not my best response. A compassionate response would be a better response. A merciful response would be a better response. A forgiving response would be a better response, out of Psalm chapter 78. The character of God is important, because we ought to be thinking along the character of God in our responses. Anger usually is a response. It's a reaction. And instead of reacting with anger, we could react with mercy. We could react with compassion. We could react with being gracious. We could react with showing forgiveness. That's what God does. That's what God's bend is. And that's what our reaction could be instead of anger. Now let's look at the causes of anger this morning, the character of God. But secondly, the causes of anger, as we pull down the stronghold, or we learn to pull down the stronghold. The embarrassing truth is that when I analyze my anger, it is almost always rooted in selfishness. By the way, all sins are rooted in selfishness and pride. And when I am angry, it's because I didn't get my way. It's because my rights were not fulfilled. It's because somebody spoke to me and I didn't deserve that. It's because I, and fill in the blank, it's because of selfishness. Can I ask you, in the last 2 weeks, what did you love so much that you didn't get, that you responded in anger to? From whence come fightings and wars among you? James chapter 4, verse number 1. Come they not hence from the lusts, the loves, the out-of-control desires, that are in you? Wars, anger, where do those come from? Come they not hence from what is in you? Your lust, your desires, the things that you love so much that if you don't get, you blow a gasket. Or you let it boil within. The causes of anger. The first step in overcoming anger is to analyze honestly before God by looking at why you were angry. And is selfishness a part of it? This week, when things didn't go according to plan, by the way, most weeks don't go according to plan, right? When it didn't go according to plan, what was your heart response? I'll be glad when this day's over. Right? What's that coming from? That's coming from a heart that has an anger problem. Anger is ultimately a matter of control. If I can't control it, then I'm going to be upset about it. And you know what? All of us have issues with control. Anger is connected to pride. Anger is a shortage of love. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Preacher, I love my wife, but I can't believe it. I swore at her last week. No, you don't love your wife like you should love your wife. Because the great chapter on love gives us this definition. It says, doth not behave itself unseemly. Verse number 5 of 1 Corinthians 13. Seeketh not her own. That's selfishness. What's the next phrase after that? Is not what? Easily provoked. Do you think that's a synonym for soon angry? I would say those phrases would be pretty comparable. And love is not easily provoked. That means love and the equal sign and soon angry is not an equal equation. If you're a mathematician, you put a slash through the equal sign because love does not equal soon angry, according to the scriptures. And so if you have an anger problem, you also have a love problem. Your love for your mate is not where it should be. Your love for God is not where it should be. If you're easily provoked, if you're soon angry, most of us are given to one form of anger or the other. Some people shout, others pout. But as one writer said, whether you spew or you stew, the underlying anger in either case is a violation of love. And may I say it's sinful and it's dangerous. The causes of anger. You know that anger is the result of a lack of patience, right? Impatient people are generally angry people. And so if it doesn't happen right away, if it doesn't happen my way, I'm going to get upset. There are a couple other causes of anger that you may not normally think of that I want to bring to your attention this morning. One is in Genesis chapter 4. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 4, because I want you to see this cause in the life of a man by the name of Cain. In Genesis chapter 4, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Abel and Cain were to bring offerings before the Lord, right? Abel brought an offering, it was accepted. Cain brought an offering, it was rejected. Correct? And so the Bible says, verse number 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Now what happened? What's the next four words? Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, what? Why art thou wroth? Was Cain mad because he did right? No, Cain was mad because he did wrong and God called him on it. You know what another reason for anger is? It's when somebody's not doing right and somebody nails it. And somebody holds them to truth. And somebody won't let it just go and pass by. That is called reaping for your sin. And Cain reaped for his sin, and he didn't like the reaping, and Cain got angry. Now watch this. Cain had a chance in life to repent right there and then. God rejected his offering. It was not the way that God wanted it. Cain didn't do that. Cain lost his spirit instead. And he became angry. And watch this. I don't believe it was the sin of the offering that destroyed his life. I believe it was the sin of anger that destroyed his life. Because the sin of anger led to the sin of murder, which led to the sin of led to him being a vagabond on this earth. He could have gotten it right, but instead he rejected what Jesus or what the Lord was trying to do in his life, and he got angry. My friend, one of the most difficult times in life is when you've done wrong, you're caught on it, you're confronted about it. Somebody said, hey, you can't live that way. Hey, you can't go that direction. Hey, there's a privilege that's going to be stripped because of that. And if you don't respond right at that moment, and you respond in anger, you will deal foolishly with things that will take you down a road that's much farther down the wrong road. That's what we find in the life of Cain. He did not deal well when he faced rebuke, when he faced rejection of the way that he was living. There's something else in Cain's life that brought about this, not only the reaping for sin, but comparison. You know, the Bible says comparing yourselves among yourselves is not wise. Why is that? Because it sows a seed of discontent in a heart, doesn't it? Man, they got, look what they got. Man, I didn't get that. And all of a sudden, there's comparison. By the way, don't we have this in the prodigal son's brother? Who refused to come into the house, the Bible says. Can you imagine him? Can you picture him stewing outside? Man, here's my brother. He took dad's inheritance, went to spend it. Spent it all. Look, man, he's coming back and dad's throwing a party for him. What in the world? What about me? I stayed here. I've been working. I've been faithful to dad. Comparison. The Bible says about that son, he wouldn't even come into the party. He stayed out in the field. Why? Because he's angry. Anger. Causes for anger. The withholding of God's judgment is also a point of anger. Turn to Jonah chapter 4. Turn to Jonah chapter 4. It's a cause for anger. He deserved to be punished for his actions. Look at him. How did he get off the hook? That's not right. That's not fair. This is Jonah's problem. I think it's interesting that God's mercy had angry Jonah preach to Nineveh, and then God withheld his judgment from Nineveh. And then confronted Jonah about his problem with anger. Look at Jonah chapter 3 and look at verse number 10. The Bible says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. I mean, this is a pagan country. This is a wicked country. But the Bible says they repented, so God repented. God said, I'm going to show mercy to them. Now look at Jonah in verse number 1 of chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Jonah was boiling over this. And he was very angry, the Bible says. Verse number 4. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Maybe you've been angry this week. Maybe you've been angry for a while. And God asks you the same question. Doest thou well to be angry? You think the reasons you're angry, you have a right to be angry? Jonah didn't. The obvious answer that God was trying to bring Jonah to was, no, I'm not doing right by being angry. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. But look at Jonah. Verse number 9. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? You know, when Jonah didn't deal with his anger got really stupid. Over a gourd? Doest thou well to be angry? Huh. Causes of anger is sometimes when somebody doesn't get just punishment that you think they deserve. And I want you to know that God dealt with Jonah on that matter. And by the way, did he not also deal with Moses? The people had Moses in an uproar in his spirit. And Moses did what? Did they deserve to be punished? Yep, they did. But you know what God said? Leave that to me. Moses, that's not you. And you know, it was for his anger that he was not allowed to go into the promised land. You study it out in the Old Testament. God said, you struck the rock. You're going to watch others go in and you're not going to go in. Moses, the great leader. Moses, the most meek person in all the earth at one point in time, according to the scriptures, let an outburst of anger take place in his spirit and in his actions. And God saw it, and God said, no promised land. Brother, and this thing of anger is very serious to God. It's very serious to God. The consequences of anger, first of all, it dishonors the Lord. We've already seen that in our text. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. But anger uncontrolled or not put off will lead to a stockpile of other sins. There is a cluster of sins that are connected to anger. One writer I read said this, anger is a capital sin. It is a leading sin. It is a gateway sin that brings hordes of other sins with it. An angry man stirreth up strife, according to Proverbs 29:22, and a furious man aboundeth, the Bible says, in transgression. That means if you get involved in anger and anger controls you, it becomes a stronghold in your life, you will abound. There will be multiple sins that you get involved in. That's a promise from the Bible. That's a principle in Proverbs. Look at this list of sins in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. All of them tied to the beginning sin of what? Anger. In Psalm 37 verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. What's anger going to do? It's going to lead to wrath. It's going to lead to malice. It's going to lead to blasphemy. It's going to lead to filthy communication. It's going to lead to wanting to do evil to someone else. That's what anger does. It multiplies. It grows in sin. The truth is, when you're angry, someone is always the sacrificial substitute for your anger. That means that someone bears the brunt of it. Your kids, your wife, your husband, your employees, your co-laborers in ministry, your neighbor. Somebody bears the brunt of it. Somebody's going to be touched by the lava that comes out of your volcano. And that's exactly what it is. It's going to burn somebody. It's going to hurt somebody. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. It goes on in that passage in verse number 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger. So now we've added bitterness to this mix. Now we've added clamor to this mix. Now we've added malice. The stockpile of sins aren't far behind this sin of anger. Anger is a sin that will take you further than what you want to go. It'll keep you longer than what you want to stay. And it will cost you more than what you want to pay. The sin of anger. It's tied to hatred. Malice is a general term for wickedness, having it in for someone. Clamor means to cry out, to scream, to yell. Evil speaking, abusive speech, insults, railing. Wrath, to boil with outbursts of anger. The Bible says of wrath, it is cruel and anger is outrageous. And who is able to stand before envy? Now we got another sin that's linked to anger. Now it's envy and wrath and anger. You see the significance of pulling down this stronghold? If you can pull down the stronghold of anger, you're going to pull down a lot of other sins in your life too. You're going to get victory in a lot of other areas of your life. But killing sinful anger is hard. Because in our minds, we are justified to be angry. It's a subtle lie. Anger is a subtle lie that's disguised in a robe of justice. I have a right to be angry. Look at what happened. Irritability, raised voice, glaring eyes, hurtful words, explosive actions, relational breakdowns. An angry person will usually close his heart to those who offend or hurt him. An angry person will do that. It's demonstrated by silence, poor eye contact, avoidance. Anger causes us to forfeit opportunities in relationship. It cuts off relationship. The sin of anger spoils friendships. It splits churches. It shatters business partnerships. It fractures marriages. It alienates children from their parents. Estranges our hearts from God. How many homes and churches are devastated because of the fallout of anger? The Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go. It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. You'd be better to dry up, have no water, than to be with an angry woman. It brings physical tension, the consequences of anger this morning. It's the number one predictor in cardiovascular disease. More important than cholesterol is mismanaged anger. Cardiovascular issues, number one factor, mismanaged anger. Say, preacher, I got all that. What's the cure? The cure is found in Colossians chapter 3. Turn there if you would. You must first realize that you have a problem with anger. God's way is not for us to blame the person who wronged us or to justify our anger as right when it is sin. Before I can deal with my anger by putting these things aside, I've got to recognize that I am angry, that it's sin, and that I'm responsible for it. If you're really brave, ask your mate or ask your children. Do you see me as an angry person? They'll be honest. When I'm angry, I should acknowledge that I have sinned. And here the Holy Spirit says in verse number 8 of Colossians chapter 3, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, out of your mouth. Put it aside. The Holy Spirit, my wife, nags me constantly until I explode with anger. And the Holy Spirit responds, put it off. But Holy Spirit, my husband's a workaholic and leaves me all the work around the house and dealing with the kids, and he's very inconsiderate, and it stirs up feelings of anger in my heart. Put it off. Put it off. But Holy Spirit, my kids sass me and don't do what I say, no matter how many times I ask them to do it. Put it off. put off anger. The only way I can get them to obey is to yell at them, and you're probably not following the biblical principles of discipline, where you correct them biblically with the rod if they do not obey the first time. And that'll prevent a lot of that yelling in your spirit getting all wound up. But Holy Spirit, you don't understand. My boss at work favors his own daughter. She doesn't do anything. She sits around and I do all the work. And I get paid less and I get treated worse than what she does. And the Holy Spirit says, put it off. Put off anger. Well, when I was a child, my parents abused me, Holy Spirit. And I'm still angry to them to this day. And the Holy Spirit says, put it off. Put off anger. You see, there really is no justification for it. God says, pull it down. Put it out of your life. I believe we've made things more complicated than they need to be. Under the inspiration of the Spirit, Paul writes to people from pagan backgrounds who've been involved in some pretty serious sins, which undoubtedly left them wounded and scarred. They didn't have study Bibles, and they didn't have Christian books. They didn't have Christian counselors. There were no magazines offering self-help articles on anger management. There were no classes on anger management. There was Colossians 3. And the Holy Spirit said, here's how you handle it. You put it off. I explode before I think about it. I can't control it. You don't understand. Yes, because the Bible never commands us to do what we cannot do by the power of the Spirit. And the power of the Spirit says, put your anger off. You need to confess it this morning. You need to accept responsibility for it. And you need to take action to put it off. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's confession. You say, preacher, how else? What else is the cure for anger? Victory is the cure for anger. It means replacing it with mercy and compassion and forgiveness and kindness, and forbearance. Imitating God's character and deferring your anger, not allowing your spirit to become hasty and soon to be angry. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is glory to pass over a transgression. You know, truth is, it is possible for you to pull down the stronghold of anger. Say, preacher, how do I get over it? You meditate on the character of God and how slow to anger God is. The next time you get angry, you say, whoa, wait a second. What's God like again? God's slow to anger. If I continue down this path, I am not going to fulfill the righteousness of God. I better replace it with compassion. I better replace it with mercy. I better replace it with kindness. Brethren, this is in the Scripture. You study the verses on God's character, you'll find anger in contrast to all of these things that ought to be a part of our lives and our relationships. Anger in some lives is a habitual response. It's a stronghold. It needs to be recognized. You need to ask yourself the question this morning, what's causing it in my life? What in my life is so strong that's causing my spirit to erupt, whether inwardly or outwardly manifested towards others? What's causing it? Lord, it's not right. Lord, I confess it as sin. Lord, victory is replacing it. It's replacing it with those things that are part of your character. It's meditating. It's casting down imaginations and thinking that causes that emotion of anger to come out of nowhere. It's understanding that's not for me. That thing's going to become a stronghold if I feed it. I can't feed it. I've got to bring it under control. God asks the question, doest thou well to be angry?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org. Or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.